Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 321, part 1, Heart. Today is Friday, December 6th, 2013.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Tower, princes kept the view, while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
Tonight's message is entitled, Heart. How many here believe in giving? You on the radio, you on the tape. How many here, though, believe in giving? Now, how many believe in receiving? I think you all do. I think if we had a meter, a clap meter, we said the same thing and people could clap and the meter would register over the radio and tape and down here, we'd probably bend the needle on the giving. Then just to show we weren't too greedy, probably be about 75-80% on the receiving. Because see, we'd have to balance the scriptures out a little bit because God wants you to receive too, you know. And then I thought, well, after that they have received, then we could ask the same question. Let's say they received $1 million. And see where the clap meter would go and how many people would really give of their abundance. How many out there that are listening on the radio or this tape right now that have substance? That probably have seen what's happening here on the north side through the media, would really give out of their abundance. I mean, do you really believe that? I think myself and the all I've heard from the charismatic movement about the giving and the forgiving and the blessed this and the blessed that, I think the almost the weaker and the weakest doers of the word are in the charismatic group. Now, why is that? Well, are you kind of prejudiced there in your speaking? No, I'm just telling you like what I see. Well, all of these teachings and all of these faith teachings and all of this word and the many, many hours spent going here and there and learning, always learning, but never coming to know Jesus Christ. And if anyone has ever received the word in abundance, it has been the charismatic. I think we need to give up this fluid drive, this charismatic situation, and get into double clutching, into manual shift, some work connected to it. So I challenge you out there, if you have that word in you, you've heard it over and over and over again. You got it, you say, hidden in your heart. You prophesy this and prophesy that. What good is it if it isn't put to good use? Well, do you know the most precious thing that you can give the Lord? Your heart. Oh, there's so many songs now about the heart. There always has been. Moon, spoon, croon, moon, heart. You gotta have heart. All you gotta have is heart. Heartaches. I left my heart in San Francisco. Proverbs 23 and 26, my son, give me thine heart. Give me your life. Give me what's in your heart, your wealth, your desire, your life. But then these are the words of Solomon. He says he's speaking in the name of wisdom. Well, wisdom is just another name for Jesus Christ. What is the highest wisdom on earth? It is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, whom God has sent. That's really wisdom. I mean, believe him so fervently that you'll put your whole heart into something. But as you can see, except for exceptional times, there's very few of us that will put our heart into what Jesus Christ has to say. All wisdom. We're always learning but never coming to know him. Yeah, wisdom is just another word for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to become his followers, his disciples, his trusted ones. Well, we get in this old world where we don't trust anybody. Then again, we have to trust people. I was talking to Steve about it when we went out. We were talking about trusting people. Well, what else is there to do but trust people? Will you be let down? Of course you will. Then again, might be the other way too, right? No, we're to imitate the Lord Jesus Christ. Give your life. See, it is God in the person of his precious Son who says then to each one of us, my son, give me thine heart. Give me your heart. What's in your heart? Have you given your heart to the Lord? You're listening on the radio. Can you say, Lord, I have given thee my heart? Well, if so, we are sons, the Bible says. We can cry, the Bible says, Abba, Father. Cry that, Abba, Father. Means Father, Father. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Let's take a look at this verse. My son, give me thine heart. Notice that love prompts this request of wisdom. Only love seeks after love. See, if I desire the love of another, it can surely only be because I myself have love towards that person. See, we don't care to be loved by those whom we don't love. We don't care if the low of heart, if the poor, it's the way it is. Love us. We don't love them. That's pretty evident, isn't it? I'm talking about on a whole now. And we don't care if the down and out and the alcoholic and the AIDS victims and the old and the deserted and the castaway. See, we are so selfish. We can only have love towards the ones that we love. You know, it'd be kind of weird and also, I think, kind of embarrassing to receive love from those to whom we could not return it. That'd be like the president calling me up and saying, I love you. You inspire me. You're great. You're wonderful. I need your heart. I'm going to take you off the tax rolls. I'm going to put you on early retirement. You name it, Paul. It's all yours. And listen, I'll be calling you back. Could you handle something like that? No, it'd be nice. But you couldn't handle it. I mean, see, we respect the president, but I mean, you know, come on. Or, hello, Paul, this is an admirer of yours. You don't know me. But I would like for you to give me your heart. You have mine. I mean, I need you. No, that would be an embarrassment to us. And yet, many do that. Don't you see what I'm saying here? Many do that just because they love you. They expect results. Well, I love you. That doesn't mean anything if that person doesn't love you back again. Watch out, someone might be claiming you right now. Friends, I'm trying to say here, God must put love within us. We don't have it. Oh, we'd like to think that we have it. But think about it. When God asks for human love, it's because God is love. I think that's great, don't you? God is asking us, my son, give me thine heart. Isn't that a strange position for God to be in? The usual position is for the creature to say to God, give me, but don't you see, here the Creator cries to feeble man, give me. And so the great benefactor himself becomes now the petitioner. The Bible says he stands at your heart's door and knocks. He doesn't ask for any kind of an offering. He doesn't ask for words of praise, but for their hearts. What a simple petition. And I looked at that and I thought, well, you know, only great love would put itself into such a position. To make itself vulnerable to the very weak excuse that we have as far as love is concerned. Of course, if we were in our right minds, we would immediately say, here, take it. And thank you very much for asking. Great. What a privilege. But you know, few respond that way. See, because it's only love that can seek love. Nothing else can seek it. It can only be, in other words, be supreme divine love that seeks after such poor things as we are. Even the best saints are poor things. Well, and then for the poorest saints, how poor we are, how foolish, how slow to learn, how rebellious. Only divine love could won our hearts. See, because so many times we're so incapable of loving one another. It's so hard for us to obey the Word of God, and just that's how you learn, by obeying. And so here we're seeing that only divine love could ever won our hearts. Bible says they are wretched, naked, miserable, dark hearts. In the modern teaching now, they say, oh, don't confess such a thing. Well, I'm telling you like it is, folks out there. It's the way it is. Miserable, wretched, naked, dark hearts. Who can know them, the Bible says. Oh, but Pastor, that's so negative. Don't ever claim such a thing. I'm just merely giving you the facts, folks. You're getting into a dragnet here and make a point. It's the facts, ma'am. And I thought, but anyway, what does God have to gain? If we did give God all of our hearts, would he become any greater? The silver and gold and the cattle on 1,000 hills are mine, he says. And I think he's too great, of course, for us to make him any better. Do you agree on that one? You're listening on a radio. Do you agree? Too glorious for us to make him more illustrious. I mean, here, God, take all of me. Take this spiritual giant, the one that prophesies, of course, in your name, and they'll say that in the end. Like there's some kind of a eighth wonder of the world. I directed people for you, God. And I have directed many away from even bothering you by taking on their problem. Now for the grand prize, I give you me. Listen, folks, when God comes calling on us, it's for our own benefit, not his. We got that switched around a little bit. Surely it is more blessed for us to give than for him to receive. He can gain nothing. But we have to gain everything. It is a gift. And yet still, he does gain a son. And I thought, well, that's a precious thought. I have a son. And even in my earthly simple love, that's great. And so everyone, the Bible says, that gives God his heart becomes God's son. And then the Bible says he looks at this treasure. He says, this is one of my greatest works. The return of the prodigal son shows us this, doesn't it? The father, it says, thought more of his returning son than all that he possessed. He wasn't looking at anything but out the doorway and up the road. And everything else was in the background. It was meet, he said, that we should make merry and be glad, for thy brother was dead and is alive again. And don't you know, he was lost and now he's found. You out there listening, who have not given the Lord your heart, do so. Do so, do so, do so, and don't get all caught up on what you're seeing on TV. All the mockery and laughing and carrying on. The Bible says you will make him glad. Angels rejoice in heaven over one sinner that comes to know Jesus. And all, you know, they say during this time of the season, there's more suicides than ever during this Yuletide season. More people wishing they were out of it, more people getting out of it. Despondency is at an all-time high. People are just all together frumped out. God is calling out so strongly. The devil has put up a front here and he's got everything looking kind of a mess in the Christian world, but God is still calling out, give me thine heart. Just give it to me. The Eternal Father, it says, would be glad to get back his lost son and to kiss him and to hug him and to say, welcome home. My son, give me thine heart. He calls you a son before you are. Really? So it points out that he longs for our love. And he can't bear to have his children forget it. You out there, listen. Be still and hear him say, my son, give me thine heart. You who are sons already, let this call be for you too, to give more. See, sometimes we go to Christ and we give our heart, but then we have a reserve. We have a pulling back and a cooling off. So give more. Preachers out there, give more of your hearts, even though that you're sometimes almost persuaded to do otherwise. And you know, more people will get saved. See, a sermon preached with no burden or a sermon preached with no love, it's flat and it's also dead. Christians, you out there listening, put your heart into your listening. Put your heart into your work. What happens when you don't put your heart into your normal natural work? It doesn't turn out. You aren't happy. The work isn't happy. And so let's not be blocks of ice with a lot of knowledge and no giving. Cold know-it-alls, charming, but cold. Oh, a cold heart. Becomes just like a block of ice when it knows it all. You ever been around a knows it all? Knowing how to deal with God and how to storm into the right into it, open up the doors of heaven and crowd right in there and shout, hey, according to your word. How to claim in faith with no love. No thought for anyone else, just a claiming by faith and standing on the word. No love connected to it whatsoever. And I think that's why a lot of hearts are cold right now in the Christian world, because they're full of prosperity claims instead of Jesus. Well, of course, many work hard for Jesus, but their heart isn't in it. And usually that comes out, doesn't it? Hey, do I have to do everything? You ever seen someone that doesn't have their heart into it? Man, they're dragging around like they got their bedroom slippers on. They got their head down and man, they're just right. Oh, God, I have to do everything. So what? There's folks that don't do a thing. And do you think they're happy? No, if you don't have your heart into it, you're not going to be happy. That's like putting that old pipe together today. Well, you got your heart into it, right, Jim? And then when it didn't leak after the second try, well, great, that was a victory, wasn't it? You got your heart into it. It's no fun down there on these giveaways if your heart isn't into it. And I had some volunteers that just weren't into it. And I came back, and I had went out, took about a half hour to go eat something. I came back, and, well, there's nothing to do. I says, hey, I'm not going to ruin my reputation here. There's all kinds of things to do here, wasn't there, Carolyn? I worked for another 2 hours in here. But I came in, and people's hearts were not into it. They thought they were going to go home, and they're going to be excused from school and torture. And they had to wake. And so I had to get their heart into it again. It's no use if you don't have your heart in it. And how easily people get defeated. How easily they say, I give. I remember when I was a kid, when we would get into wrestling matches and they'd pretty near bust your neck off. And you say, I give, say, uncle. No way. Do you find that true when you don't have your heart into something? You out there listening on the radio, when you do your housework and you don't have your heart into it, you pick up a slipper over here and a towel over here, and then you go sit down, and you sit there with a towel over this way and a slipper in between your knees, and you just sit there sort of slumped like this, look over at the dirty dishes, and get up and wash two of those, and the phone rings, and you just can't get going. You know, if you put your heart into it, one thing leads to another. My mother used to tell me, grab the dishes like you mean it, and when you scrape those dishes, make a noise. Hit the bottom of the plate. Don't just sort of slip over the top of the gravy and the meat and the potatoes. Scrape it. And the noise will alert you that you're getting done. Then you take them and you put them in the sink and you rinse them real good. And you stack them, and then you wash them, and then you dry them, and you keep right up until you're all done. And your hands are all red, your nails are all clean and everything, and you feel like doing something when you get done. But don't stand there slipping over the meat and potatoes over the top with your fork. Wipe the table off like you mean it. Wait on people in the cafe like you mean it. Can I help you? Put your heart into it. Have you got your heart into listening to this program you on the radio? You're sitting there in a 90 degree almost falling over on your face. What a drag not to have your heart into what you're doing. Many work for Jesus, but they don't have their heart in it. No, the Bible says your heart must be on fire. Isn't a job a drag if you don't have your heart into it? Now you're putting a cabinet together, okay? You lift up the hammer and it just sort of limp in your hand and you whack on the side a little bit. Mess it up. Gonna crack that little thin piece of wood on the side there. Because your heart, you're not holding it right, you're not putting that nail in there right, and giving it that tip, 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 sort of banging on it, you know what I mean? It ain't gonna turn out right because your heart isn't into it.
If I tonight minister and I don't have my heart into what I'm ministering, it won't have anything. It won't won't cause any fruit. You on the radio won't benefit a thing out of it because I'll just sort of go along in a monotone. And give you A, B, C, D, and so on, and an outline, and you'll fall asleep and fall over on the side of your head. Don't have your heart into listening. Don't have your heart into preaching. What good is a person that can't put their heart into it? All these kids that came down, they enjoyed themselves. You know why? They got their heart into it. This is the way we make the soup, make the soup, make the soup. This is the way we make the soup down at Disciples Ministry. Huh? Now, our hearts must be on fire. And our hearts also must be set upon its design. Do you ever notice how a child cries? That's a lot of noise, but it's effective, isn't it? Some children, when they cry all over. And when they want something, they cry all over. Their whole body cries. Big mouth is awake. Their little hands shake. Even they're just barely in their diapers yet. They throw their legs up and around and they thrash and they cry and they arch their back. They hold their breath and they turn blue and they pull their hair and they double up their little toes. They have their whole heart and their whole mind and their whole screamer in it. Their whole body is crying out. They put their whole heart into a good ball. And they get results too, don't they? Isn't that the way we should preach? Isn't that the way we should pray? Isn't that the way we should sing? Put your whole heart into it. Well, there's nothing worse than a choir that gets up and they don't have their heart into it. And they won't take the gum out of their mouth. And they just got, oh, I'll keep it back in there. I don't, you know. They just keep a chaw in the back there like they're on second base or they're in a baseball game of some kind. You know, keep a chaw and, hey, babe, 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 babe. I mean, this is nothing to it. Sort of just slapping on each other. Hey, babe, nothing to it. You ever seen a choir that doesn't have their heart into it? And their mouth just is half open, half hearted. Praise Him. Oh, a little emotion. Praise Him. Did you ever see the girls in the group when they sing? They put their whole heart into it. That's why it's good. You ever watch Don when he's playing his guitar? He puts his whole heart into it. Down here with his old foot pedal down here now. I don't know what he's doing with this thing, but you play that with your feet now or with your hands? I don't know. Bing, 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 bing. Maybe I could play this. I can tap dance. That help any at all? But he has his whole heart into it, and his feet pick up from his heart. And his hands pick up off his heart. You only got half a heart, your hands are only got half the motion. And your feet only got half the motion. You're only half awake, half alive, and half dead. When you have your whole heart in it, you don't play off key in there right now. But you don't have your heart into it. Man. Can hit the wrong notes every time. They call it giving it your all. And I know from boxing that you don't put your whole heart into it, man, you're going to get knocked out.
Isn't that the way it is when you get up there with that karate? Is it karate? Jim, is that karate that you do? If you only just do, you know, have half your heart into it, every once in a while you just sort of sling a leg up there. I am going to kick you. Huh? No. The heart commands this leg to get up there and poke the guy in the face. Well, that's what karate is. Right? See, you telegraph and you let the devil know what's going on if you don't have your whole heart into it. Your body is just sort of out of time. Yeah. See, our hearts are going to go one way or they're going to go the other way. They're either going to go towards victory or they're going to go towards sit down, or they're going to be drag your feet like you got your slippers on while you're at work and just sort of drag along. I don't have to do everything. Huh? I want to quit. I'm not going to work for this company anymore. Huh? Well, someone's got their heart into it. They got their shoulders back. Buckle down, win sake, and away they go. Right? Wasn't that right? You know, watch people when they fill bags down there, and they got some that'll come along, and they're like they're planting, because they'll just once in a while, they'll pick up the phone. Somebody's got their heart on there. Run back, get some more, come back over here, put the bags in all along there, and look, see if they're all in there and everything. Then they go get some more, and they put some more bags in there. It only takes one dragger to drag the rest of them down. Did you get that sight over there? What? Can't even talk. Their heart isn't in it. End up getting mad and going home because nobody understands them. Well, good riddance, says I. See, we must give our hearts to Him. When we give our hearts to the Lord, our hearts are right. Because temptations are all around, aren't they? That quitting spirit is all around, isn't it? I quit. The destroyer, it says in the end, of course he always has been, but in the end it's going to be worse, is out to see you go under. Well, the Bible talks about that in about the boozing and the woe and the sorrow and the contentions and the rivalry and the strife and the Now you out there listening, I want you to hear that. My son, give me thine heart. Saved and unsaved. And let us all that are saved give more of our heart to Jesus. So that it is fully occupied. Occupy until I come. Occupy what? Occupy. Have your heart occupied. Well, you know, it's an empty heart that the devil enters. Seven worse, it says in the Bible. It's like boys when they break the windows of empty houses because they are empty. The devil throws stones wherever the heart is empty and dark. What a great thing it is when Satan tempts us. That every room is occupied in our heart and we have no vacancy signs all over. And our whole heart is lit up, enthused, and alive. Yeah, but you don't know.
Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows my sorrow.
When we can tell Satan, greater is he that is in me than he that is of the world. How great that is.
There you have it. That was episode 321. That was part one, To Heart. Be sure to join us on Sunday for the conclusion. God bless you.
You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict dancing on the stage. Money, drugs at your command. Women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
It may be a state trooper, it may be a young Turk, maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor, you may be blind or lame, maybe living in another country under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Maybe you're a construction worker working on a home. Might be living in a mansion. You might live in a dome. You may own guns and you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord. You may even own banks. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop. You may know how to cut hair. And maybe somebody's mistress. Maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil. Or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk, might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread. Maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, you may call me Terry, or you may call me Timmy. You may call me Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy. You may call me RJ. You may call me Ray. You may call me anything. No matter what you say, you're still gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, and it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.